Hello and welcome to Audioscope. I want to start today's programme with a little advice. I was in a taxi the other day and I was talking to the taxi driver, as is my wont, and we were talking about blind people and how we get through our daily lives. He commented on how I had got into his taxi. He felt he should have done more to help me get in. But he didn't know what to do, he said. So I began to think about this. So here's a few little handy hints about helping a blind person into a car. Firstly, don't manhandle us into the vehicle. And you must tell us which way the vehicle is facing. The front of the car is on the left or on the right, whichever the case may be. Do you want to sit in the front or the back? Show us where the door handle is. And also, if possible, put our hand on the roof area just over the door so we don't crack our heads on it when we're getting in. We can then put our hand in and find the seat ourselves. Then explain to us where the seat belt is situated. Now, if we have a guide dog, please make sure the dog is fully inside the car, and that includes the dog's tail. Ask the blind person if they're okay, and the last thing you do, once again you check, the last thing you do is close the door. When arriving at the destination, let the blind person make their own way out of the car, and just remember, don't make a big fuss about it, okay? It's quite easy. Louis Braille invented Braille in the 19th century. The system of raised dots has been used by blind people to read and write and to study down through the years. But with the introduction of information technology, i.e. computers, many people felt that perhaps Braille had had its day. Blind people could use scanners and have their information read to them from screen readers. Books were being produced to be played on MP3 players. But Braille has held its own among all the newfangled technology. In fact, now, Braille and computer technology have become bedfellows. I want to talk to you now about RoboBraille. I have on the line from Denmark, Lars Christensen, who's been working on the development of RoboBraille. Lars, what exactly is RoboBraille?
Well, RoboBraille is an email-based service that is capable of translating documents that you submit to it through email into either contracted Braille or synthetic speech.
So what exactly happens? Let me ask you this. If I, for instance, have a document, we're not talking books here now, we're talking a document or an email that I want put into Braille. How do I do it? What do I do?
Well, actually, you could talk about an entire book if that was what you wanted or if that's what you had. But basically, you just send your document in whatever size it is to an email account, and then we receive it on our email server, and then we translate it into whatever you have requested. So if you have requested, for instance, contracted grade 2 Braille, then we would translate it into that and then return the result to you.
But can you also send it to me? I must have on my computer a Braille display to do that.
You would need a Braille display on your computer, or you would need a Braille embosser.
Okay. If I hadn't got any of those, could you send it back to me as an audio file?
Yes, I could. We can actually do that. We support a multitude of languages, so you just submit it to a different mail account, and then we would translate it into an MP3 file and return it to you.
Now, does this require a lot of time? Was it time-consuming, Lars? How long would it take?
Well, if we were talking about Braille translation, then that is actually very fast. Usually you could submit an entire book and have it returned to you within a minute.
A minute?
If we talk about audiobooks, then it could take anything from a minute to several hours, depending on how big the document is.
Am I hearing you right here, Lars? If I send you a document, say, for instance, now I had a manual for a recorder I had just bought or an MP3 player I had bought, could I send that to you and have it back within a couple of minutes in Braille?
Yes, you would.
That's amazing. Now, I've also got on the line Lena Cousy, who is Media Services Manager with NCBI. Lena, you've been involved with this as well, haven't you, a study of some sort?
That's right, Joe. We've been working with St. Joseph's here in Ireland on developing RoboBraille. We've been conducting a survey with various clients on the RoboBraille usage, and we've had some excellent feedback from our clients here in Ireland with regard to the whole RoboBraille process.
I may have given the impression when we started that this RoboBraille was a type of Braille. If so, well, I apologise for that. It's a Braille service. Isn't that right, Lars?
That's right. It is a Braille service.
It's a Braille service, RoboBraille. Now, who came up with this idea? How did it come about, Lars?
Well, it actually came about because I was discussing one afternoon with a colleague that it was amazing that the technology that we have been developing for the past 20 years was not being used, and that was translation software that you had to install on your own computer. So what we found out was that it was actually too complicated for people to produce Braille. So we got into a discussion to talk about how we could actually make the entire process of processing documents, converting between different formats, and doing the actual contraction in a very, very simple manner.
But do we have to be able to read Braille to do this?
Yes.
So, okay, you apparently then are a Braille user, a Braille reader.
No, I'm not. I'm a computer scientist, but my colleague is a very competent Braille reader.
Lena, how did NCBI come involved with something in Denmark?
We were approached by Lars, actually, to join up as a partner in this project, and we jumped at it. Really, it sounded like a great project to be involved in, and ourselves in St. Joseph's, as I said, wanted to go ahead and develop this RoboBraille here in Ireland, and that's what we're doing.
Would it be mainly students, Lena, that would be testing this?
Both students and anyone who's a Braille reader in Ireland has been testing it over the last 2-3 months now.
Lars, if one had, for instance, a Pac-Mate or a Braille note with the Braille display, we could do it. It could be worked with that.
Yes. It was, as you're probably aware, one of the issues of Braille devices is that they don't share a common Braille character set. So we have actually built in a facility where you just, in the subject line of your mail, state the character set that you want the final result delivered on, and then we can convert our contracted result into a number of different Braille formats. So that would work, yes.
I'd just like to point out here that there are two grades of Braille. There's a very simple Braille. That's right, isn't it, Lena? There's
grade one
Braille.
There's grade one and grade two Braille. And what we're working on at the moment is a contracted Braille in RoboBraille.
Contracted Braille is Braille that uses a lot of abbreviations and various signs for words. It Braille is bulky at the best of times, isn't it, really, Lena? It's
yes.
A bulky system. So contraction cuts it down somewhat.
Cuts it down somewhat, yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we were to produce a standard book, maybe 300-400 pages in grade one Braille, you'd end up with maybe around about 600-700 pages, whereas when you use a contracted Braille, you're reducing it maybe down to 500 pages.
Lars, we do have English Braille, but there's also German Braille and there's international systems. Does RoboBraille provide for that as well?
Yeah, actually, with the European project that Lena was talking about is actually a project that came about with financial support from the European Commission. And what they have commissioned us to do is to validate the service in Ireland, in Great Britain, in Portugal, in Italy, and in Cyprus. So what we have been doing now is adding support for a number of different Braille systems. So at the moment, we support the British English system, we support the Danish system, the Italian, the Greek, and the Portuguese system. We're actually looking to prolong the project right now and hope to be able to add support for German Braille, for French Braille, and for Spanish Braille as well.
Lars, this is still in its testing stages, but I hear some tremendous figures about people who've been asking you for help, availing of the service.
Mm-hmm.
What sort of figures would we be talking about?
Well, at the moment, we are responding to about 500 requests a day. A day for translations. And since everything is automated, it doesn't really matter to us. We have a theoretical upper limit capacity of about 15,000 requests a day. So we are nowhere near that.
Lena, we in Ireland would have nothing like that, but could you give me an idea of the sort of feedback you're getting from the Irish end of things?
Yes, the feedback has been very positive, Joe. All the clients that have, or service users that have used RoboBraille have come back to us delighted with the speed of the response that the server or the service provides. It's also an inexpensive way for producing a document. It doesn't really incur any added production costs when you're producing a document through RoboBraille. And also, I think in a way it also creates an independence for someone who's who's vision impaired. It will enable really the person to access information in the required format.
Welcome to the club, Lena. Welcome to the club. Now, if I mentioned early on about manuals for, I'm using recorders, but I'm sure people with microwaves and washing machines, is that sort of thing they could use it for, Lena?
They could, yes. They could send the document through to RoboBraille and get back the response in the format that they want.
That they want. Lars, about the funding for all of this, it must have cost something. Where did that come from?
Well, the vast majority of the work was funded by the National Center for Visual Impairment in Denmark for Children and Youth. And then we have received quite substantial funding from the European Commission as well.
And what about the future of RoboBraille? I mean, you astounded me there with 500 a day. Could you cope with more?
Yes, we could, and we got plenty of capacity for that, and we are at the moment seeking further funding. We've actually been encouraged by the European Commission to apply for further funding. They have recognized the project as being quite important for Europe and to the number of European dimensions, including e-accessibility and e-government.
Have you had any inquiries from the US on this?
Yes, we have. We have actually had quite a few inquiries from America about teaming up and utilizing the service. So we're considering that.
Lena, you're involved, as you said, with St. Joseph's in this one. I presume they're quite happy with the service so
far. Exactly, yes, they are. They're very happy. They're on board and working with us in this project.
And how long will this project go for, sort of the trial? How long will the trial go for?
Initially till December 2007, and then pending further funding, we'll go on probably further.
Well, can I thank, first of all, Lena, for you for giving me your time.
No problem
and
at all.
And, Lars, I'm trying to say Guaten, is that right?
Guaten, that's fine.
That's fine. Can I thank you very, very, both of you very, very much for talking
You're
to
very
me,
welcome.
Taking the call. God bless and thank you.
Thanks.
Bye
now. Bye-bye.
Just before I go, I'd like to remind you that you can download a podcast of today's programme from the RTE website. My thanks to producer Dave McHugh, Joe Bollard wishing you well, travel safely, God bless, bye.